The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, today could be the day humans returning for a new moon mission for the first time in over 50 years. Four astronauts are taking the trip on NASA's Artemis II mission, which is scheduled to take off later. And while they won't land on the moon, they will be gathering key information about it. So let's find out why this is so significant. Niamh Shaw is a science communicator specialising in space. And Niamh is at the NASA Kennedy Space Centre in Florida. Hello, Niamh.
Good morning. I'm looking at the countdown clock, Claire, and I can see the rocket lit up, illuminated just behind me. It's very quiet. I'm one of the few people to hear, but it's going to be an incredible day.
And it is going to happen, is it?
I'm pretty confident it's going to happen. Yeah, like I've been following this story now since the first rocket launched. That was back in 2022, and you can see that they get better and better at figuring out the little tweaks that happen when they go to fill the fuel tanks, when they were dogged with leaks. And in the rehearsals for this launch, they had two before the same tweaks came up, but they overcame them much more quickly. And I was at one of the pre-launch conferences yesterday, and they were saying, you know, everybody has smiles in their faces. So it seems like there are many, many, many series of checks to get us to the countdown of like 1 minute to go or something. It seems to be going forward very well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I feel like today is the day, or, you know, something very complicated has to happen for it not to happen. Weather is good. They were talking about the solar storms, if there was any kind of solar flares. None of that's going to happen today. So, yeah, fingers crossed, like we're all been waiting, you know.
Well, we certainly have. And there's a lot of talk about why it has taken so long to get to this point, to get to the point where we have a successful moon mission. What are the reasons why there's been this huge delay of years and years and years since 1972?
1972. Well, so the first thing is there was a lot of money spent to get people on the moon. So 10% of the budget, the federal budget, happened for the Apollo program. Now, 4%, I mean, now it's 0.4%. They built a completely new rocket. They based it on the rocket that was used for the space shuttle. They're working with different partners. It's an international partnership, like the European Space Agency has a stake. They provided the system control module that keeps the astronauts alive on the spacecraft. And you've Canada, you know, first person ever, one Canadian citizen to go to the moon. So there's many moving parts. And I remember speaking to the mission director about Artemis 1, and he said, with the exception of having, you know, the understanding of how to land on the moon, they had all those maps and procedures. They're basically starting from scratch. And when you see a rocket up close, there are so many lines and cables. It's like a really bad electronics project or something up close. So, you know, like the level of complexity is incredible. So when you start from scratch and you know, there are so many checks and checks and checks that you have to do, because every time, even a payload of, I don't know, you know, a television screen or something goes up to space, there's always a likelihood that it's not gonna make it. But when you have precious cargo of humans and the world watching, you really have to make sure everything lines up. Yeah. So all those things, you know, it just takes time.
So it's about budgets, it's about safety, and it's about progress, really, I suppose. You know, you could call it, you could say it's overcomplicated, but actually what's happened is there's an alarm for everything now, you know, and they just won't go unless it is completely safe. So what is going to happen with this Artemis II launch? How will it work? What will they be doing?
It's 10 days. So please God, now they launch 6:24 or 11:24 p.m. tonight. And they launch happens. And then so the launch is the big body of the rocket. And then the very top part is the part that will be going to the moon. And that is the Orion capsule. And so like the service module that ESA provided will kind of keep them alive. They'll orbit Earth for a day or so, because you don't want them going to the moon and realizing that something is wrong. So they do some checks for the first 24 hours. Then they spend about 2 to 3 days heading towards the moon after a very important translunar injection. And that will kind of speed it up and get it to the moon. while they're heading to the moon, they're testing everything. They're testing their suits, they're testing their seats, they're testing all the components on board, they're testing the communications, they're testing how the maneuvers work. They're very keen to measure how much radiation they're being exposed to, because once you leave lower Earth orbit, which is where the International Space Station is, you're not protected by the Earth's magnetic sphere, the magnetosphere. So so then they arrive and they don't land on the moon, as you say. They will go around the moon. They will do a special translunar orbit, which basically the gravitational force of the moon basically kicks them back. And the great thing about that is, say something happens to their power or something like that, that gravitational push will ensure that they'll get home regardless of what happens. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I always think of, you know, I'm a massive Antarctic fan and Ireland has always had major contributions. For those expeditions, how they would work would be that they would have teams of people that would go out in advance of the, you know, the main team that would ultimately like make it to the South Pole or to the North Pole. And the job of them was to lay down food supplies and eliminate risk. So they'd go, when you get to that hill, you know, what you should do is you should go to the left and don't go to the right. And they would map it out. See, this is the same. That's what this is. This is a mission to test the capsule mainly, how it keeps people alive, how the toilet works, was the food nice, was it cold, was there enough oxygen, all that. And then, you know, the next time there'll be a human launch, which will be Artemis 4, they're going to land on the moon. And there are many, many more complicated steps in order for that to succeed. There's the next mission is kind of critical. They'll be testing the device, which is the spacecraft that's going to land them on the moon. So there's two commercial enterprises doing that. You have SpaceX and their amazing Starship, and you have Blue Origin's Blue Moon. Long term, what will happen is there's a space station called Gateway, which has been paused for now, but this is what will happen. And this is what we're building towards, that the Orion will dock at the Gateway, and there will be the spacecraft that will take them to the moon, which would be Starship or Blue Moon. Okay. But right now, because they don't have Gateway, they're going to launch those separately. And so, very complicated.
Niamh, just take us back to the scene there, if you will, and your description of it. You said it's pretty quiet, but you are looking at the countdown clock, are you? What can you see?
I'm looking at the countdown clock, 11:45, 05, 04, 03. So it's a massive countdown clock. Then in the distance, you have the Artemis 2 rocket lit up. Then behind me, we have tents of all the different media. There's one or two that are actually reporting right now. We're all staking a claim on, it's called the lawn. So that's where all the media sort of set up. So there's tripods and stuff. So I legged it out here to get my tripod up. And then to my left, you have the massive vehicle assembly building, which dominates the sky. Anybody who's been on their on a holiday to Orlando and you go to the Kennedy Space Center, you see this. And you've got the Artemis logo, you've got the NASA logo, and you've got the 250th logo. It's busy here already. That's why I got the first bus out here, you know. But it's kind of like a wedding day. I think the best way to describe how we're all feeling is it's like somebody's getting married. You know what I mean? When you're like, everyone's getting their makeup up. That's exactly the energy it feels like. I'm going, hello, it's a great day. It's a great day. You know, people you don't normally speak to because we're all so like excited.
Yeah, it's Christmas, Easter nerds, and the wedding day all wrapped up into one.
Exactly.
For someone like you, nerds. Certainly.
Yes. You
know, okay. Well, look, how many? So you said, did you say 11 hours to go at this stage?
11 hours, 43 minutes, 54 seconds. Yeah.
Great. But you're not counting or anything. The clock is doing it for you, Niamh, but you're keeping exactly. a very close eye on it. Listen, great to talk to you and enjoy the next 11 or so hours. And it's great to have you there so early to come and chat to us. That is Niamh Shaw, who's a science communicator specializing in space, joining us from the NASA Kennedy Space Center in Florida, where Artemis 2 is expected to launch later on today.
The Claire Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.